So let's call a meeting to order. Let's go around and check in. Ben Sansom.
Angie Garrell.
Julie Rust.
Scott Aylett.
Melanie Shockley.
Stacey Beck.
Our minutes from October. We don't need to go over anything from the combined meeting.
Right? No, yeah, there weren't any minutes from that.
Besides, Stacey would buy a book.
Except for Stacey would buy a book. And she did. And that I think we will do that training internally, in-house moving forward. I think it might be more helpful. I still like combining with the other libraries because we can learn from them.
Oh, and that my other suggestion was get a library board picture on our website.
Oh, yes. I will text Pete.
Maybe we could just do that at our next board meeting.
That's a great idea.
Huh?
And we all need to be prepared to get our photos.
Stacey will let us know what we need to wear.
Would you please give me the dress code? Color coordinated.
That's what I do with the count.
Do you want to wear our Spanish work shirts? That would be cute.
Yeah, she did that.
You guys all have one?
Way cute.
Yep. So. Should all have one.
Perfect.
I'll look.
Okay.
See where mine is.
Yeah, tell me what one it is.
It is red.
It's red. It's a polo.
It's way cute.
No buttons, though. Right?
Is this the same one?
I'm like, I think it's the same one.
She doesn't stay.
But I have a red polo that has Spanish for that, just not that one.
Cool. That's fine. Okay.
We should probably wear a different color as our star council member. We'll stand around you with jazz hands.
Make sure to get that in the minutes that Stacey will be
jazz hands.
And we will have jazz hands. Kind of recap from October. We talked a lot about, we went over the display themes for 2026 and talked about some policy changes in terms of how we were going to handle fines moving forward, deleting accounts that were 5+ years expired, and waiving fines for accounts that were greater than 3 years since they were generated. So, yep. Kind of a recap.
Sounds good.
Entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
I'll accept.
So first from Angie, a second from Julie. And then all in favor vote.
Yes.
Any opposed? Cool. Okay. We need to select new board officers for this upcoming year. So Ben has been serving as the board chair and done a great job. And Melanie has done a very wonderful job doing minutes. I'm trying to think of a different adjective, but you've done a great job doing minutes. I don't mean to make it seem like you haven't. You've done a great job.
Adequate.
Adequate.
Anyone else want to do this?
Oh my gosh. So, we like to change it every year just to give everyone an opportunity to do different things on the board. So, I'm trying to think.
Have you guys done anything?
Angie's been chair. You've been chair and secretary.
Angie, you've done both?
Uh-huh. Well,
I think you have.
I think I have.
Yeah, you did minutes for a while.
I think I've done both.
So, Stacey, looking like you, girl. I don't know. No, I don't think I can take that role.
Really?
You could be the board chair.
I mean,
you know how to run a meeting.
I volunteer, Stacey.
Yeah.
I'm happy to do it.
I don't think Zillia's had a role either, but
yeah,
she's
not here. Yeah, what about Zillia?
Well, she can't oppose.
She can't oppose. Zillia could do secretarial duties.
Yeah.
She could do
this. Stacey, the board, you guys really all in favor. I'm happy to, but Melanie, have you been chair?
No.
Maybe that's the stepping stone. So I decline and I give it to Melanie.
Reverse card.
Can you reverse a reverse?
You haven't either.
No, but I don't feel like I should.
Why?
I don't know.
It's on you guys, so you guys get a pick.
I just feel like this is such a stepping stone to what Ben has been doing.
You
Ben,
are
were you secretary?
I've not been secretary.
See?
Yeah. Oh, cool. So how did you ever get loaded into this role without
the stepping stone?
Charm.
Your way right in with that grad school theater class. You know how to turn on your charm.
That's funny.
Okay, so a motion for someone?
We don't have a someone, do we? I don't know.
Who wants to make a motion?
Melanie to be chair or Stacy to be secretary.
Okay, so there's a motion from Stacy. Anyone second that motion for Melanie to be the chair and Zelia to be the secretary?
I would love to second that.
Julie seconds it. All in favor, yes?
Yes, yes.
Sure.
Sounds good. Sure. We've all been there.
You can oppose. It's
I think being the leader is easier than being the secretary.
I agree.
So you've already done the hard part.
Zelia can take this over.
Perfect.
Point
nice.
That out in the minutes. Let
Zelia know. And then tell her if this is the stepping stone, she's the next person.
Scott will already
tell her.
Bring your laptop, Zelia.
Well, I mean, next year we'll have to replace you, so that could be baptism by fire. Give the new person
that first year.
Tim, great. We don't have any material reconsideration requests to go over this month, so we will just jump into some updates that we have for you guys. I guess in terms of upcoming events, a link to our events calendar. One thing that we're going to do in April is National Autism Awareness Month. And Orem did an event last year where they brought in first responders. And it was kind of, obviously we don't want it at the same scale that New Year's Eve or some of our larger events are. We want it to be smaller scale for families with kids with autism or other sensory needs so that they can come. And so we'll have some first responders here. And we'll do like a story time that's kind of like our sensory story time, but we'll do a few of them. Just providing opportunities for families that maybe have some of these sensory needs, they can come on a Saturday, and we'll have a special set of programs for those families to come in April. So that's slated for Saturday, April 11th. And then something fun that we're going to do kind of along the same lines that Stacy has done for the library board, our teen and adult department is working on a reading challenge that's called the Fellowship of the Book. Essentially what it is you sign up with you and nine of your friends, or you can join a fellowship if you don't have anyone to join with. And what they're going to do is they'll have one copy of each of the different books in the series, starting with The Hobbit all the way through Return of the King. And you get 20 days with the copy, and you get a specific color. You can annotate, you can draw, you can write whatever within your copy. And then you pass it to the next person in your fellowship. And so, and then at the end, they're going to have like a big, like Hobbit themed party that you come with your fellowship and you can see, oh, what did ever, you know, other people write in our copy of this version or this edition of the book or book in the series. So again, you can sign up as a group, a bunch of friends, or if you've got teenagers in your family that you want to do it with them.
And this is a one-time deal, right?
It's a one-time deal, and it runs for several months, right?
Oh,
because you get it for 20 days, and then the next person in your group gets it for 20 days.
You have to read fast.
You have to read fast.
Those are big. They are. I'm like, 20 days?
20 days. And you don't have to do, I don't think you have to do all four books, right? Because you sign up for each of the different ones. Well, it's...
Oh, per book.
Per book, right?
Per book, okay, right.
So there's a link there that you can go in and sign up, but... I think it starts in let's just look and see when it starts. I don't remember. You pick up at the end of March, and then each person's got 20 days, and then it ends at the end of September. So you could, in theory, like sign your fellowship up to do all four books, and you just plow through them. But
that
should be kind of fun, right? Kind of
a fun idea.
A group book club.
Who came up with that?
I think it was Tiffany Miller. She's our teen and adult program coordinator. It may have been Haley Stevenson, but and kind of fun to see at the end of it, you know, each person gets their own color and then to go back through and see what they annotated or wrote within the copy of the book. So it should be kind of fun.
So someone would start more into the series.
Yeah. So if you're going to do all four of them, so there might be someone that's starting on book two or three, right? And then you're ending on The Hobbit, so...
So it's not a series that you need to know, or we just assume you know enough about it right now that...
Right. Okay. Yep. Or you could just opt to do only one of the books, right? If you only want to do The Hobbit, then you only do The Hobbit and do it that way. So should be a lot of fun. And then again at the end, they're going to have, so it's going to start on Tolkien Day in March, and then it ends in September, and they're going to have like a Hobbit tea party and other fun activities and events for people to participate. So
very fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I don't think we've ever done anything quite like that. So still a ways away, but our next closure is not until May for Memorial Day, but kind of get it on the radar. Okay, staffing changes. So Chrissy, who is our circulation services manager, she is retiring in April.
Is she really?
She's been here forever.
Yeah, 22 years. She's been here for 22 years. So we've hired Lexi Lamb, who is the management intern for the city manager's office. She's finishing her MPA program right now.
I don't know.
She is awesome.
She is fun.
She is fun.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
And there's going to be a new title.
Yeah, so we're kind of rebranding it. So we're trying to, and it's intentional, we're trying to focus less on transactions, right? Books coming in and books coming out. And make it more about the patron experience. I think we do a really good job at trying to make a good positive experience, but inevitably we get comments through our, you know, strategic plan or patron surveys that there's the stereotype of the grumpy librarian, right? And we want to get past that, right? We want it to be a positive experience for people, and Lexi exudes
Lexi's
positivity, and it's just she will do a really great job. So
I'm excited that we're keeping her.
We're keeping her, yep. So we're really excited, but yeah, that whole division of circulation is changing, and she's really going to focus on how do we make it just a great experience for patrons when they get here. So part of that is our circulation team that works the front desk downstairs, they also man the sorter in the back. And we're taking the sorter away and giving that to our kind of back of house staff. They're called tech services. So that our circulation or now patron experience staff, they're just out on the floor focused on the patron and on that experience. So she'll start in May, but we're really excited. Glad that we could get her from city administration as she graduates and not lose her to some other city out there. So she'll be a really great addition. Sad to lose Chrissy, 22 years of experience. So a lot has changed in her time, but she was really helpful as we got ready for the new building and moved over and whatnot. So trying to glean everything we can from Chrissy before she leaves.
Is she going to pursue something else, or you don't know?
Just be
a grandma, or I don't know what. But
just enjoying early retirement.
Good for
and
her. Okay.
She
has
and her husband
retired?
They're both retiring at the same time.
Okay. Because her husband and my husband went to school together.
Okay.
Nice.
Not grad school, more like a bachelor degree in the tech world, early
90s. So excited for Chrissy, but also excited kind of for this new chapter. So one thing that we're rolling out this week and next week, we're trying to make these study rooms a little bit more self-service, right? Maybe kind of back to the graduate school days, right? Where you go to the study room in whatever building and you've reserved the room, you just go use it, and there aren't really staff there policing it and getting you in your room and checking you in, checking you out, that sort of thing. We want to make it more self-service. It's a lot of interactions throughout the day for our staff, having to let people in the room, let them out, check them in, check them out, that sort of thing. And we want people to just be able to do it on their own. So we've purchased these stands that have iPads that refresh every 60 to 90 seconds with the availability of the room. So if it's green like this, it means it's available. You can scan the QR code and book it right then and there, and then it's yours. If it's a yellow screen, it means a booking is about to start in the next 10 minutes. And if it's red, it means that it's currently occupied. But you can click down in that corner right here and see the availability throughout the day when it's going to be available next, or just scan the QR code to book it. We'll keep the doors unlocked for the study rooms, the conference rooms, because if you reserve them, there's a fee to reserve them. We'll keep those two locked and we'll manage those manually. But the rest of them, it's just book your time, come use it. And most of the time they're booked from open to close, right? And we have a lot of regulars, right? So we feel like getting them trained and used to the system won't be that difficult because they're here most days using the rooms.
What's the time limit?
2 hours. If there isn't someone immediately following your booking, then we'll let you stay until someone else books it. But you can only reserve it for 2 hours. And again, most days it's back to back to back throughout the day. So It's really great. The conference rooms don't get used as much for paid reservations, so we're looking at whether or not we should just do away with the pay, you know, structure for these two rooms, and just have people use them like the other study rooms. I think our only concern with that is we do have some businesses that will come in and reserve the study room for the entire day because maybe they're doing a training on CPR or a meeting with their entire team or whatever, right? And they want to have it for the whole day. So giving them the ability to book it for the whole day, but they're going to have to pay for it. So we're still kind of investigating that, but hope that this system makes it a little bit easier for patrons to get in and out of the rooms. So, back in December, we kind of as a test, we had heard from some other libraries that had started circulating video game consoles. So we spoke to probably 12 libraries across the country and got a lot of feedback. Logan up in Cache Valley, they do it. And didn't really hear any negative feedback. People, most libraries reported that they didn't have consoles that got stolen or damaged. And we had received feedback from our patrons saying, it's nice that you have video games, but if I don't have a console, I can't really take part in that. So what we did in December is we used some CLEF funds, which is state funding that we get, to purchase two Switch 2s, so the new console. And we put those in our teen section where the teens can play after school. And we took the existing Switches there and we put them into circulation so people could check them out just right before the holidays they became available. And those two have been checked out back to back to back. Since then, we've got, I think, 10 holds on the two right now. So
how long is the checkout for?
2 weeks. Okay. So for each, that's a 5 week, five holds waiting for them. So mm-hmm. times that by two, you're looking at 10 weeks to get it. So we just got a grant through the state. It's a federal grant, but the state administers it to swap out our other two Switches that are in the tween department downstairs. Yeah. And do the same thing. So we'll have four Switches that people can check out. They each bundle comes with three games and four controllers. Seth, the city manager, checked it out over the holidays. He's like, I love it. We could play Mario Kart. I don't have to go buy a Nintendo. I just use it for 2 weeks and then send it back and that sort of thing. So patrons have, I think, appreciated it. Obviously, it's been checked out all the time, but kind of a nice new addition that we have on the tech side for people to use. And I think we were able to use state and federal funding. Not that it was really expensive, but we didn't have to use any local funds to facilitate either of these. So kind of a fun new addition. And at the suggestion of kind of the mayor and the council and city administration. So we do our annual Food for Fines drive. Last year we did two, one in June and then one in October. And kind of as a way for us to continue to push fine forgiveness and provide additional opportunities for patrons to receive fine forgiveness on their accounts, we are starting in March going to do year-round Food for Fines. So rather than it being just those 1 or 2 months, at any point during the year, we'll have barrels here. You can bring in non-perishable food items or other things that Tabitha's Way needs, and we'll waive fines on your account. We'll no longer cap the amount. In the past, we've capped it at $20 that we would waive, and now it's we'll waive however much you have on your account if you're willing to donate these items that then go to Tabitha's Way. So cool. It also helps us at the city level because other departments try and do food drives for Tabitha's Way. And so rather than trying to facilitate two or three different drives for different departments throughout the city, it's just this is what we do at the city level to help Tabitha's Way. And if you want to donate and you don't have food or you know fines on your account, you're still welcome to donate. There's no balance that we're waiving for you. But Tabitha's Way was really eager and appreciative of this approach that we'll do it moving forward. So again, starting in March, year-round Food for Fines. We were trying to capitalize on a gentleman that was wearing a Fiesta Days rodeo hat at a pretty prominent event. We probably won't use this in our actual publicity. Name, image, and likeness concerns. Yeah. But internally, this was one of the concepts that came up.
Can I put a shameless plug in for the hat? We ordered them and are having Reams sell them.
So really? If you have any Postie fans that love this, they're on sale for $29 at Ringers.
Oh, that's good to know. That's so fun. That's so great.
Generally, we don't waive a lot. Like last year was under $400 in fines that we waived for those 2 months. But we hope that this provides an opportunity for other individuals that are looking for ways to pay down their balance on their account while also paying it forward to Tabitha's Way. Another thing that we're starting to investigate is opportunities for volunteers. So if you've got a fine balance, providing opportunities that they can come and volunteer at the library or maybe at Parks and Rec, some other city department, and we'll have that be credit that goes toward an account balance that they have. So
how would that work? How much money would they earn?
That's what we're trying to figure out.
And then you have to train them. Like, is it?
We have a lot of volunteers that come here anyways.
Okay.
And so we're
so
used to
easy, like, this is easy. Yep. Here's a 5-minute training. You're good for 2 hours.
Yep, you can come in and do whatever, right? So, just other opportunities.
Yeah. No, I think it's awesome.
Rather than just waiving fines.
Library fines. Yeah, before you want to work a couple hours. I don't know.
Come help in an event or something.
But yeah.
Come do the dishes.
Come do the okay. So last year, I guess November of 2024, we started our new adult collection, right? So it's materials geared and targeted towards the audience of, 18 to 30-ish, right? That collection continues to grow and is extremely popular. Like, the number of checkouts, I think, is one of our highest circulating collections. We just don't have space for it anymore. It was over here, kind of in this black section, so kind of in that back corner. We've run out of room. We were shelving items on top. And so in order to make room for it, we've had to shift some things around. And a lot of that is that we're taking from the teen collection and the adult collection materials that fit within that age group. And so it's not that it's this large influx of new material, it's just shifting material that we have. And so in order to make room for it elsewhere, what we've had to do, and this is kind of a convoluted map, we moved our large print over where the Library of Things was, and we were getting feedback from large print users that it was hard to find and not as accessible because it was kind of in the back corner of the upstairs. So it's a little bit closer, right, and more visible for those looking for the large print material. We then moved the Library of Things, so the radon kits, DVD players, our memory lab items, all of those items back over to where the library, over to where new adult was. Then we've moved new adult and the adult graphic novels up to the front by the elevators. So it's the first thing you see when you come in. And then we're shifting the rest of the adult collection back. So romance will end kind of where the large print collection was. So we'll have teen over here, new adult here, and then the rest of adult on this side. So our plan is to have the rest of it shifted by the middle of March. We've had to purchase some additional shelves to make space for some of the items and add some additional capacity. So those will get delivered mid-March, and I think mid to end of March we'll finish shifting everything else into its new home. Some of them have already moved. Large print has already moved. And others, like the large print or Library of Things, has moved as well. But so we get, it's kind of messy. We've got signs up to help patrons know where to look for the item that they're looking for. So anyways, kind of a big shift, but it's great that that collection is doing so well. And we've had a lot of other libraries express interest in how we've facilitated and created this collection and how we promote it and that sort of thing. Because it's, I think it's new to Utah. I think we were one of the first, if not the first library in Utah to have kind of this set aside collection for new adult, and it's really popular. So, okay, summer reading is right around the corner. That's so crazy. Last year, after summer reading, we sent a survey out to our residents to get some feedback on how we do summer reading, more specifically what we do with prizes. And we got a lot of really good feedback. We asked them, how do you like our structure? Do you like where we have these little milestone prizes specifically for kids? And then they get not a large completion prize. They get a book and maybe something else. Do you like that format? Would you rather that we don't do the little milestone prizes and they get a bigger prize at the end? Or no prize at the end and bigger milestone prizes, right? Like, we offered all of these different options. And most people said they like how we're doing things right now, but they don't like the prize drawings, because you have 10 prize drawings and you've got 1,000 kids that finish summer reading, right? Chances aren't very great that you're going to get one of the grand prizes, right? So based off of that feedback, we're making some changes this year. A couple of the changes that we're going to do first, all of the programs are going to be based off of minutes. So in the past, like, adult has been, you've got to read 5 books or you've got to read 1 from each genre, all this sort of thing. We're just making it simple. Every age group is read a certain number of minutes. And to help one facilitate and help adults participate more and recognize the work that they're doing by helping their kids read, especially those with really young kids, we're going to allow parents or adults to count as their minutes read time that they spend reading with or to their kids. Because we don't want to, you know, count it against a mom that
by the time
I'm reading with my kids all day and then end of the day, I've got to do something else, right? We want to help facilitate and reward that parent for participating with their child. Sure. So they'll be able to count those minutes towards their participation in the summer reading program. And then we're going to do away with the grand prize drawings. We just want to make it so that, like, you completing, like, we want to make the completion prizes better. We want to make the milestone prizes better. So as we focus moving forward during donation collection, as you guys are working over the next couple of months, the meme that keeps coming back to me is President Bush after Katrina? Have you guys seen that video where he's like, We know that you want to send us your money, your food and water and clothes. Just send us your cash. Right? Just send us cash. So that's honestly, that would be what's most helpful for us this year for summer reading is gift cards, because for the adult program, we'll give them a gift card for completing. And if it's a local business, we love being able to support the local businesses. Obviously, the certificates that we get from businesses, like a free taco or a free donut or free ice cream, right, that we can give to every kid that participates or to most kids, those are great as well. But we'll move away from having these grand prize drawings, because, again, only a few people get to win, and just reward everybody that participates with the same level prize.
Do you have an amount of money? Like, if they want to donate, you know, $50, do you want $10 gift cards?
I think
$10
gift cards is what we're shooting for. In the past, for adults, we had, like, the varying amounts, a lot of fives and a little, like, a few tens and 20 and 25, whatever. I think for adult, we're just going to do 10 bucks across the board for every adult. Yep. And that's, I think we'll do gift cards as well for the teens. So teens and adults, gift cards, and then children. We'll still have, like, the little trinkets and prizes that they get like that, and they all get a free book for completing summer reading as well. So I'll email a link, and I think it's in the agenda, a link to our donation list for local businesses and whatnot. So if y'all want to start working through that, we'll start summer reading. We'll start that Tuesday after Memorial Day. So obviously, I think, like, years past, if we can have prizes gathered by middle of May, then we know what we've got to work with. And then we can go out and use the rest of our budget to get additional prizes and whatnot.
I like that this summer you can read at the pool, our outdoor pool. So start the summer reading program on that Tuesday.
Yep. And you can
go over to
the
city and lay in the sun.
Sounds amazing.
It's a perfect combination.
Or listen to it, right?
Listen
to an audiobook. So, but I appreciate all of the work you guys do and getting donations. I get that it's not easy, it's not fun, but it makes a huge difference, right, when we've got those resources available that we can reward individuals and families who participate in the summer reading program. And we hope that as we continue to make it simple, right, rather than X number of genres and X number of books, just read, right, a set number of minutes, that it'll help families and kids, especially kids, right, read during the summer months and avoid the summer slide. So any questions on summer reading?
Do you give them anything to like keep track of their reading?
So you can either get a paper tracker. We also have Beanstack, which is our app that you can log in, and that's what I use. That's what most of our patrons use. Okay. You can just log your minutes that way. Which is fun because with Beanstack, you can scan the ISBN on the back of the book, and then it pulls right up into Beanstack, and it knows what you're reading. So that's kind of helpful. Okay. But some patrons still like the old paper form, yeah, so we have those available still. So that is all I have in terms of updates for you all.
Great.
Is there anything you guys want to talk about? Any ideas, suggestions, comments that you've received, things we can improve on?
I shared with you the thing that my friend sent about the early reading things, but you know about that.
Yep.
I really enjoyed going to the Hygge, the Danish like comfort thing. I did that with my wife and my daughter. It was nice. A lot of fun. Won a prize.
Nice.
Surprisingly.
What'd you get?
A book and I think some tea. I really can't remember the other thing. Oh, so it was face masks.
Oh, nice.
And my youngest daughter was like, yes!
That's awesome. That's cute.
Great. Yeah, she'll be a teenager in a week and a half.
So yeah, what we're finding with the adults is that the larger events, even if it's got a nominal like $5 admission fee or whatever, have been more popular than traditional adult programs that we've done in the past. They get more attendance, people are more excited, and because they pay $5, they've got a little bit more skin in the game, so attendance ends up being better because they feel like they've...
It's like an event.
Like that psychology. It's good.
More of a like a, we're doing this on Friday night, not, the library might be having something, we might go.
Right.
We paid money, we're going.
We're going to go. Right. And it's inexpensive, right? Yeah. And so the adult department is really going to focus moving forward more on those types of things, right?
That
maybe are after hours. Mm-hmm. You get after-hours access to the library, like the Halloween ball that we do, those sorts of things. We'll still have our clubs, like the crochet circle and our chess club and the mental health like support group and other things like that that are largely volunteer-led. But more of our resources in the adult programming are going to go into those kind of paid-for events. So
that's great.
Yep. And then Ben had mentioned that he'd sent over some suggestions on how we can improve our backpacks. Or early literacy backpacks. So I sent that on to my children's staff and they're doing some research and figuring out what we can do to kind of improve those backpacks. That the kids check out a backpack and it comes with a stuffed animal and a couple books, and we may have some science-based ones that come with some experiments that they can do. So Ben sent some good examples over of what Springville has. They have a ton of backpacks. So we're just trying to be a little bit better on that front. And
great job, library.
Thank you.
Very good job.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome.
Okay. Anything else?
Have you thought of a bridge club before?
Bridge club?
Yeah,
no.
The card game. Not that I could teach it, but I do love playing
that. That was big in the 50s and 60s, I think. I want to learn how. Angie,
really
you should
fun.
Teach me.
I don't know how to play it that well. But
well,
like,
apparently
I love it.
Do.
So I'm like,
well,
I don't know. My sister-in-law is always the one helping me do it, so...
She should
start
the bridge
club.
Right.
Really? You've got books where they go play bridge.
I know, I feel like
we need to learn how.
We need to learn
how. I know.
Some croissants.
Yeah.
I know our neighborhood has a bridge group.
What?
Our
neighborhood
has?
Yep,
a bunch of the ladies in
the neighborhood. I might need to get a number from you.
Really?
Yep.
That sounds fun. Your wife's in it?
No.
Oh.
It's kind of a, like... who's who of the neighborhood.
Ooh, it's the bougie club.
They wear dresses and talk about
their hats out
there. I've never heard that in Utah.
You've got to, like,
either.
That, I should say this all off the record.
Did you want to pause yourself?
We'll adjourn.
Adjourn, okay. All right, I motion to adjourn.
I had one question.
Oh, no,
for
I'm
really
not,
quickly.
Sorry.
So, when we did our tour, we kind of talked about how things have kind of gotten busy or like really, you know, cluttered back, not cluttered, but like there's a lot of stuff back there in the in the office. And I know that some people are over on the finance side because they have space over there.
Yep.
Are there any other things that you're doing to try to make it? Because I talked about how it seems like the fire hazard, like having all of the stuff under the desks and things like that.
Yeah. So we're actually in the process right now of moving a bunch of our long-term storage, like decorations and those sorts of things that we get out once or twice a year. We're going to move those over to a storage room in the city office building in the basement that's not being used.
Cool.
And we'll kind of repurpose some of that space so that, again, when we need Christmas decorations, we'll go once a year and grab that. So that what we store in this building is our more immediate storage needs. And that will free up a lot of kind of the nook and cranny storage spaces that we're using wherever we can find them.
Cool.
So that will help a lot with that. But yeah, it's helped moving our teen and adult team over to finance because they had a bank of 6 cubicles that weren't being used and probably wouldn't be used for the foreseeable future. So we've moved into those, and that's provided a lot of additional space for our staff. But it's a challenge, right? Like, I think coming into the building, we thought we would have oodles and oodles of storage. And even as we annually go through and do like a storage purge and get rid of things that we haven't used, it's still a challenge of just making sure that you've got enough space to store what you need.
I think it's just like a house.
It's just like a house,
Like after a couple of years, you need to like pretend you're moving.
That's
true.
Get rid of a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Well, just fill the space, because this is definitely way bigger than that little building across the street.
Yeah.
It's like,
do you do that often?
I feel like I always have some
Now we can entertain a motion to adjourn.
Sorry. Yeah, I did. Okay. That was
just in my mind.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure we got to it. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
First.
A second.
First from Melanie, second from Julie. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Any opposed?
So anyways, you do have one of these clubs in your neighborhood.